This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, this is John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live. I know normally when we do this, we're all excited. We got this big energy to start the show. But we just want to real quick make sure and take a moment to say that our thoughts are with everyone. We're dealing with the tragedy currently in Texas. Obviously, an unbelievable, just totally disheartening, terrible feeling to continue and see. So I know Nick and I wanted to make sure before we got started with the show, We went ahead and discussed that and just said that our best wishes are with everyone dealing with this tragedy, and we're all thinking about you all.
Yeah, and this so close to our guy Carlos, so close to home for him. We'll have a little message from him later in the show, but yeah, this is just awful. You know, I don't know how I'd explain this to, you know, my kids if they were a little bit older. And man, we got to do better. We got to do better than this. This can't keep happening. And and we try to stick to baseball as much as we can on the show, but sometimes things are more important. And yeah, let's be better.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that being said, we are excited to get back to doing what we do, hoping that we can give people some positive thoughts and some fun conversation here for a little bit. We have a great guest tonight for our edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live. But we got to first let you know we are brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and our friends over at BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline can be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments for the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all sports wagering needs, including live betting and the fan-favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. I'm Tim Daniel. I'm stoked, as always, to be here. Very excited to be here with always my friend Nick Kirby. Obviously, Carlos is not with us tonight. He is with his friends and family and loved ones, and we're thinking about you, buddy. We love you. We can't wait to have you back. We do have our favorite Cubs fan hanging out with us tonight to talk about the series so far. You can check him out all over the socials as I try to get him pulled up. I had it up a second ago, and of course my phone decided not to work. On Twitter at Joey Knows Nothing, he is a part of Primetime Talking on Tap Sports Network. Mr. Joey Ricotta, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, Tim. Yeah, thank you guys for having me again. I mean, it's always fun to hop up on here and talk with you guys. I know we go back and forth quite a bit on Twitter, so it feels like it's been a while since we did a show together, so I'm happy to be here, man.
Yeah, last time you were on the show, Amir Garrett still played for the Reds, so.
Yeah, that's something. I'm glad he's not anymore.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. Well, man, it's so good to have you. Obviously, you know, tonight was one for the Reds, obviously losing the first two of the series. Yesterday was a good old-fashioned country butt-kicking. And then today the Reds get back with a home run and triple from Joseph Daniel Votto today. First time he's done that in a game since 2010. But obviously, and the Cubs are kind of looking like they're getting closer and closer, getting out of this rebuilding phase. They are 18-25 after tonight's game. They did win, like I said, they did win those two games against the Reds to start the series. I know you guys all have Seiya Suzuki fever. Can I talk a little bit about, for those of us who only talk about the Cubs, you know, when they play the Reds, what has this team been like? What have you liked? What have you not liked from this team so far this year?
I've really liked the development of certain players. The young guys that have come up so far, like Christopher Morel, he didn't have a huge night tonight, but you saw how he turned one down that the left field line there. He's put in some really good at bats. He's flashed the power. Obviously, first career at bat, late inning appearance for his debut, and homered, which Wrigley Field just the roof. I mean, there is no actual roof, but the place was like torn down at that point. It was just electric watching that on TV, and like the guys that have come up from, and he came straight up from Double A, kind of a little bit of a Javi Baez type of feel to him as far as electricity goes and, you know, the life he brings. But the bullpen's really been the key to this team. The games that they've won and even the games that they've lost, they've kept them in games and been really solid. You get quality outings from Keegan Thompson out of the pen, who is able to give you some length, and he can switch back and forth to the rotation when needed. A guy like Brandon Hughes, who slider is just nasty, a converted outfielder. He wasn't even pitching until 2019 and just got called up recently. You know, David Robertson's been electric, an old vet, but he's been really good. Him and Rowan Wick. Really, the bullpen's been the strength of this team. But then you kind of see like the development of these players with Nico Horner. Hey, if he can stay healthy, he hasn't played since May 11th until tonight, with and he was able to drive in a run there and made Nick change the scoreboard here before we hopped on. But he had that thing wrapped up. It's 4-2. And I'm like, whoa, I'm watching backstage like, hey, I think they just got to run. But yeah, man. So it's been cool to watch some of these guys develop and play pretty well. But then you've got growing pains here and there. Guys like Rivas who have struggled and then kind of turned it back around and put in quality at bats. Seiya Suzuki's going through a major adjustment period right now. Ian Happ has had a really solid and consistent year all season.
Reds killer.
Yeah, Reds. It's Ian Cincinnati. It's, you know, it's Ian Cincinnati. That's what I changed the Cincinnati's name to the other night. Yeah, man. Wilson Contreras, if he could stay healthy, just this was like his first appearance in a while because he's been dealing with a hamstring, but he's been hitting the ball extremely hard all season. But I mean, you know, you see the standings right there. They're probably not doing much this year, you know, probably fighting for third place with the Pirates or maybe even you guys at some point. But it's still fun to watch. I'm still remaining very positive because of what I see in the minor league system and, you know, probably like you guys are as well. And, you know, we'll see what happens here. But I don't think this team, like you said, I don't think they're too far away.
You mentioned Nico Horner, who has obviously been, you know, really good, like you said. Do you think that the fact that this is probably the first year of his career he doesn't have a rookie card that you can get at Tops, it'll be more valuable than his actual rookie card since he's had 7 years of them?
Maybe that's very possible. You know, they probably got like a special, I don't know how they do it with the platinum, or you got to laminate them a little bit. It's going to be a special card probably this year because he's actually on the field long enough to be not a rookie. So yeah.
Yeah. It's like Jose Barrero for us. I'm like, I think he's had 3 years of cards and they all still say rookie on them.
It's wild, man. Like, and look at some of these other guys that the Cubs have too. Like, would you even think that Patrick Wisdom or like those guys were rookies, or, you know, like some, these guys are so old and they're considered rookies. I believe Frank Schwindel, I'm not sure if he got past the rookie status or not, but as far as like service time goes, like these guys have not had much experience, but they're so old to not have that much experience. It's wild.
What can you tell us? You know, we've all seen the stat lines, obviously, on the box scores. But our old buddy Wade is pitching for you guys now. How have you guys taken to liking our old Wade Miley? I saw the clip where he was talking and the like he caught something like while he was doing a TV interview, and that was kind of baller. But you know, you guys liking the Wade Miley experience? I still have the poster from his no-hitter hanging up in my office.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a swagger to him. You know, he's got a cool personality. I think it was sunflower seeds that they tossed to him while he was on there. But yeah, he's been really solid, man. I like what I see from Miley. The first outing obviously didn't go that great, but he wasn't stretched out or anything, you know, dealing with the inflammation in the offseason. You know, he ramped up a little bit slower than everybody else and wasn't ready for the beginning of the season. But he looks like a quality arm. And now I see why Nick and why you guys were so, I don't know, I guess bummed out when we were doing that preseason episode on the Cubs. Like, why do we lose Miley? And I get it, because he's a quality arm when he's healthy.
Nick, you have anything you want to add to that?
No. Joey, what's your overall take on the, I know you kind of went to a little bit, what's your overall take on the division so far?
It's kind of as expected, I guess. Like, this next, other than the Reds, like, yeah. Honestly, I didn't think they'd be last. I thought they'd be fourth or battling with the Cubs for the third spot right now, with the Pirates just kind of being the bottom feeder. But Brewers, I had kind of projected to win the division. Same goes for the Cardinals being up there in the runnings, and they are looking like powerhouses right now. So you're getting, once again, the Cardinals, they've got these random dudes that come up. I mean, yippees. I don't know what his name is. Still can't pronounce his name right, even though I've watched a million of his highlights. But every time I see his name, I'm like, who is this dude? But I know he was actually, they were looking at him as like a pretty decent prospect, or, you know, they get excited about the minor league guys, but they just produce these guys out of their system. And it's like, where do these guys come from? They've been doing it for years, it feels like, with the Cardinals. The Brewers, obviously, they have the pitching, and they have, you know, Yelich playing much better this year. So for the most part, it's kind of going as expected. I'm just kind of wondering, like, what's going on here with the Reds? I know you guys have dealt with a lot of injuries and stuff, but it's good to see Votto back, obviously. So, yeah, got the ambulance there on the screen. Yeah, man, that's like when I was looking at the Fangraphs page earlier, and whenever you have Tyler Naquin and Brandon Drury basically leading your team in F4, I don't think that's – nothing against those guys. I don't think that's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, those guys have been great, but that's not who you want at the top of your page, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're very pleased with what we're getting out of them, but
yeah.
On the other hand, but yeah, it's
obviously Stevenson's been great too, by the way. I mean, I know you guys probably talk about it every episode, maybe, I don't know, but
we're not
Stevenson is amazing.
Tyler Stevenson, believe me, we're very excited to talk about Tyler Stevenson every week.
Yeah, Tyler Stevenson is one of the hot takes around
very popular
Cincinnati right now. I actually want to get your thoughts on this, and then we want to kind of share our own thoughts for sure. So the hot take was Tyler Stevenson. He's had a couple concussions, and it's all of a sudden, oh, got to move him out of catcher. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Joey, I feel like when Wilson Contreras came up, was there the same kind of thing with him? Like, oh, you got to move him out of catcher. Like, he's too good of a hitter. Did you guys hear the same things?
Well, we're kind of hearing something similar now, just because he's getting older. So you're like, maybe you want to preserve the bat a little bit if you want to extend him. But when he first came up, a lot of people questioned his framing. And, you know, there were valid concerns about that. Like, everything was kind of legit. People that were concerned about his framing was not good when he first came into the league. I don't think his framing's been all that great this season, but over the last couple years, it's really improved, especially with Ross as a manager. And even when Ross, the one year that they played together, his framing was actually pretty decent. And then it kind of, you know, got a little bit worse when Ross left and then came back as a manager. So he improved, you know, and his throwing arm is obviously really good. So I definitely think that it's a little too early to just take Tyler Stevenson. I don't know, like, maybe I'm the one with a hot take. I don't know. Like, I don't think you should move him out of catcher just yet. He's young enough to where, why not see if he can do it? Because that's, if you have that type of bat as your catcher, I mean, give him some days off at first, give him some days off at DH, whatever, get his legs a rest. You have that kind of bat behind the plate. That opens you up to so much as an offense to plug in other players and quality bats at other positions.
Well, if you have the hot take, we're on the same boat as you. So we're on that hot take as well. So,
yeah, we feel like we're in the minority here. And I could not be more against moving Tyler Stevenson. Now, it's a different story if the doctors are saying you need to, this guy can't catch. I have never heard anything that makes me think that their actual doctors are saying that. So if the doctors are saying that, it's one thing. If Tyler Stevenson himself is saying, hey, you know what, I'd like to move off catcher, that's a whole different story. But if neither one of those are true, you got to keep having this guy try to catch. This poor kid caught 376 games in the minor leagues. And like, you're going to say, oh, he had a concussion, got to move him to first base. Like,
right.
That's ridiculous. Massive.
That's nuts. I just don't understand it.
Posey had a concussion or two. I mean, he had definitely had one for sure. And then he went back behind the plate for most of his career.
He broke his leg and still caught. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And Buster Posey's not a Hall of Famer if he's not a catcher.
Right.
Right.
Like, no, his bat's not that good.
Yeah. But I think he's a legit Hall of Fame catcher, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I do.
I just, and Joe, you can kind of speak to this. You know, you guys just picked up, you know, Frank Schwindel. He wasn't like some huge get for you guys, right? It's so much easier to find a good hitting first baseman than it is to find a good hitting catcher. Like, I just don't think people understand the team building aspect of it. If you have Tyler Stevenson at catcher, filling the rest of your roster is so much easier. If you're putting Tyler Stevenson at first base, okay, he'd be a decent first baseman, you know, probably above average, but you have to fill all these other things. You have to add all these wins together, and it is so much harder. So I could not be more against the narrative that Tyler Stevenson has to move from first base, you know, unless he's pushing for it or the doctors are pushing for it. You need to try. And then if in 4 or 5 years down the road, you need to move him then. But right now, this is what's best for the Reds and for the Reds' future. And for Tyler Stevenson's future, is he'll make a hell of a lot more money catching than he will playing first base. Like, I don't think people realize that either. You're like, oh, we got to help. We got to protect Tyler Stevenson. Tyler Stevenson doesn't want to move from catcher.
He probably wants that money. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants that money.
He
wants that arbitration money, man. It's going to be twice as much as a catcher as it is at first base.
Yeah, and I think the other example that comes up with this quite often is Joe Mauer. And, like, that was a situation where it was like, no, he seriously continues to get injured. He's missing, like, there were stretches when Joe Mauer was the regular catcher for the Twins where he was missing like 40, 50 games a year. Like, that was like a, okay, yeah, moving the first, like, keep his bat alive and that's fine. And like, look, he rejuvenated his career for a while there, but like MVP, you know, to go off of what Nick said about Buster Posey's not a Hall of Famer if he's not a catcher, Joe Mauer's not an MVP if he's not a catcher at that time. And so, like, yeah, I totally stand by that. Like, I absolutely love Tyler Stevenson. I love having that catcher. And like Nick said as well, like, filling out your roster from there is so much easier. I mean, you look at the Reds' history of, like, you know, I know obviously Johnny Bench is the Johnny Bench, but, like, this team won a World Series with Joe Oliver as their catcher. In 2012, when they won the division, Ryan Hannigan was their starting catcher. You think those teams couldn't have used a bat like Tyler Stevenson at catcher for them? Like, yeah, like, this is very different, and keep him there as long as you possibly can. Like Joey said, if, you know, he plays first base here and there, great. Gives Joey Votto a day off. If he DHs every so often, like he did the other day, perfect. But like, if we take Tyler Stevenson out of there, we don't have that excitement like we had in Toronto where he was throwing people out. He was really controlling base runners behind the plate. It was tremendous. Like, and I want to continue to see him grow there. I think it's the best thing for the team. I think it's the best thing for him.
Hey, no one catches 162 games. Like,
no, like, it's not possible.
Other than Salvador Perez, he's like the one exception. But like, most catchers catch like 110, 120 games. And that's fine. Put Stevenson at first base or DH on his off days. That's great. If you want to make it to where you're being ultra conservative with him and you're giving him twice as many off days from catching as you would for anyone else, that's great too. But just saying we got to move him away from catching as his primary position, that's nuts to me. That is just completely tanking the value of your team for nothing.
And we've seen what the catching depth in your organization looks like when they don't have Tyler Stevenson. Not very good. Not very good. It's not easy to find a catcher. It's not easy to find one in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I know they have some guys that look promising in the minors, but how many guys have we seen come up that have been promising through the minors that didn't amount to anything? You know, there's no one in this system that's anywhere close to Tyler Stevenson.
No, I agree. And I think he's gotten better the last couple weeks behind the plate. Like, it's really been impressive.
Yeah.
Man, that Toronto series was awesome. I thought he was so good. And plus, like, if you do that, are you relying on Aramis Garcia every day to catch? Because that's not fun. That's not good. So, yeah, I digress.
I feel like you cross that bridge when you get there, you know? Like,
exactly.
If you have to move him like a Joe Mauer situation or something, fine, do it. But like as Nick said and you guys said, I mean, you're just not as valuable like at first base as far as like his type of bat goes. I mean, he is one of the top two catchers, hitting catchers this season, in my opinion, when you look at like 1A, 1B with Contreras, really. And yeah, it's just funny that it's a similar situation. I know Contreras' average isn't as high, but you look at all the expected stats, the WRC plus, all that stuff, advanced metrics are really good. And, you know, similar situation. Like Contreras, that's one of the reasons why I was so happy that the Cubs got Yan Gomes in the offseason, because they can give him an extra couple days off and DH him, and they've been doing that, or play him at first, whatever you want to do. But his value, like his main value, is catcher as a hitter. Like it's catcher. You want that type of bat in your lineup behind the dish, like a Tyler Stevenson, especially if they improve behind the plate. Because like you said, if he's been catching much better defensively lately and making plays, why not? Like, I don't see why, if before an injury even happens, like don't move him out of there.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I'm glad that you feel the way we feel. Because sometimes I feel like we're like people look at us like we have three eyeballs when we say that.
I don't know. Like I don't get it. I don't understand why people would be, you know, so quick to. I guess I understand the concussion concerns, but it's like I just feel like that's just way too quick to pull the trigger.
Oh man, you have no idea how nitpicky it is. The other day I saw something where someone was saying, "Well, it's because he wears the old style catcher's mask. He needs to go to like the hockey goalie mask." And I'm like, okay, you guys are thinking way too much about this.
What?
Way too much. Yeah, just let it be what it is. So you mentioned that you call Cincinnati Ian Cincinnati because former Cincinnati Bearcat Ian Happ seems to have his way against our beloved Cincinnati Redlegs. But on the other end of that, there is a guy by the name of Aristides Aquino.
Oh, who, man.
For some reason or another, can't hit against anybody but the Cubs. I think, like, who is it? Our pal Obscure Former Reds tweeted the other day that, like, a third of his career home runs are against the Cubs. And against the Cubs, he hits over 300. And I think against the rest of the league, he hits under 200. So what is it that old Aristides knows about the beloved Cubby pitching staff that he doesn't know about anyone else?
I don't know. Like, is there a wife that's, like, from the Cubs that's like cheating on one of them and like hooking up with Aristides or something, just like giving him all the info? I don't know what's going on, but every time he plays the Cubs, it's just like he just crushes the ball. And I don't know, like I don't understand it. I really don't. The guy has all the power in the world, but yeah, the OPS, I know. I tweeted something out, was it yesterday? And I was like, thank God he's not in the lineup. Was it yesterday's game that he wasn't in the lineup? I don't know. But yeah, I was just thankful that he's not in there. And then today, I don't get it, man. I really don't understand. I know he strikes out a lot, and like, why are you throwing him anything in the zone? I don't know.
Yeah, that's Nick's guy. So if you we've learned quickly that thou shalt not say bad things about Aristides Aquino on this show.
I will say when he first came up and he was on that tear, like, yeah. I was all aboard it. Like, I was putting him in my DFS lineups every night. I'm like, this guy's on a heater. We're just riding it.
Yeah. I went to one of those multi-homer games in that stretch. It wasn't a three-homer game against the Cubs, but he had like a two-homer game on like a Friday night during that stretch that I went to. And you will laugh at this because here, like, if you become a fan favorite in the Reds, like the Reds fan base, like they protect you. And so, like, people were legitimately upset the Reds traded Yasiel Puig, which brought Aquino up to hit those 20 home runs he had that time frame. But we were like, when the trade first happened, people were like, yeah, but why'd they get rid of Puig? Like, that was a legitimate conversation between the Reds fan base.
While he was on that heater, people were talking like that?
They were like, yeah, I mean, dude, we should have been around when the Reds traded Todd Frazier to the White Sox. It was like you thought that they traded Babe Ruth.
God, man, you guys must have similar fans on social media platforms, especially that the Cubs do, where it's like there are some, it is mind boggling. I'll log in and I'll just look at, you know, a few things here and there, just try to find some new information, stats, funny things, whatever. And then you see people bickering and arguing about stuff that's happened 2 or 3 years ago. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, can we just move on? Can we please? What's happening today? Who are we playing today? You can't do that, apparently, when you're a Cubs or a Reds fan. I don't understand.
I feel like the rule should stand that if you've won a World Series in the last 10 years, you can't complain. Like,
I agree. At least somewhat. At least somewhat, right?
Right.
108 years, and we won a World Series, and now everybody's like, yeah, we should be winning every year. I agree. I want us to win every year, but it's like, what are we upset about right now? We're that upset that we got the best era of Cubs baseball ever? Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. We do have your old pal Albert Almora Jr. playing for the Reds now, though.
I was going to ask you, how is the Albert Almora Jr. experience going?
It's an experience.
he's always been good with the glove. I'll say that. Just except I think maybe his last year out, or like final year with the Cubs, it was kind of getting, maybe he's taking what's going on at the plate to the field with him, and he was like taking horrible angles and routes. I don't know, man. I mean, I just don't. I don't even know how he's on a big league team at this point. But looking at your the IL players that you've had. I kind of understand now.
Yeah.
That's why he's on a big league team.
The ambulance.
You trade for Jake Fraley. He has a rehab stint. You have Tyler Naquin. Literally, Nick Senzel has been on the IL. Max Schrock, who was a guy that could have, they like looked at potentially playing corner outfield last year. He's on the IL. Yeah, that kind of answers the question. But notice he didn't play in Toronto this weekend.
Got his first home run of the year, Votto, in Toronto. That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Is that who you were talking about? I kind of missed what you were saying right there.
Oh, I said Almora didn't play in Toronto.
Oh, okay. That's good.
He wasn't on the roster for that stretch.
That's a good thing.
On their restricted list.
Yes.
Oh, because he didn't get his vaccine.
That's what we're thinking.
We don't comment.
But. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Please don't sue us. Yeah, but Joey Votto had some more Cubs memories tonight. You know, a homer and a triple. Pretty cool, right?
For you guys.
I'm just glad we had you on the one win we got this week.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm glad I could help out and be like the mojo that got you over the hump or something. I don't know. See, this series, I was looking forward to this series so much for not because you guys are like, horrible this season, but I was looking forward to the banter back and forth. And then when you guys kind of opened up the show with, you know, the Texas thing and then Carlos, like, I don't know what it was yesterday, just kind of, or, you know, when that happened, it just kind of threw a whole.
Yeah.
It just made it where I was like, I don't even want to, I just don't care right now, you know, and I still always care, but it's like, I don't know. It just made it kind of odd. I was looking forward to going back and forth with you guys on Twitter and talking shit and having fun. But that's why I'm glad that I was able to come on here and do this with you guys, because this is fun, right? Like, it's supposed to be fun. This is what baseball is all about. And yeah, we are division rivals or whatever, but I think all of us can agree that the Cardinals suck. And, you know, no matter what their record is. So do the Pirates. Absolutely.
Pittsburgh's not a real city.
Neither is St. Louis. It's a boring city. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the Brewers, I mean, come on. Like, Wisconsin, all they care about is their cheese. The Packers suck. I'm a Bears fan. So, yeah.
Bulls fan.
Yeah, we're all on the same page here for the most part, except for, you know, Cubs versus Reds. And I'm just glad we're winning the series right now, 2-1. So.
I'm going to ask you this, and if I am 1,000% off base, it's totally okay, but this is the way that my mind like puts things together. So obviously right now, the Reds have these two young gun starters who are just blasting onto the scene in Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo. Two first-round picks. Obviously, everyone knew about Hunter Green. Lodolo's been hurt for a little while, but when you've seen like what his ceiling can be, Is it totally off base, or is it fair to compare what we're seeing from Green and Lodolo to what you guys had with Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor?
No, it's not fair. Okay. I'll say it's not fair. And I'm high on those two as well. Like, it's not me coming in like a,
sure,
you know,
no, I was just, I was really picking your brain on this. Truthfully, I wasn't like,
yeah,
to say
no,
a hot take.
No. I just think they both have a ton of upside. I mean, you've got the power arm with Green. You've got more of like the pitch mechanics and control, it seems like, from Lodolo, or like location wise, but he's got nasty stuff as well. But like, he's more of a guy that's going to pitch, like actually pitch. But look at Hunter Green against the Pirates. Look, like, he was incredible. I mean, so I don't know. I'm not going to say that it's not possible, because of course, like, these guys will probably have a lengthier career in the rotation as well, if they are even above average, right? Because those guys dealt with all kinds of injuries. So you could probably surpass them, really, from a career standpoint, if they are above average and give you the innings. So I guess I shouldn't say no, it's not possible. I just don't see it, like,
sure,
from a like talent perspective, because those guys were just, those two in particular, Wood and Pryor, were just so unbelievably disgusting when they were healthy. It was just like, lock it in for two runs or less every game. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I think I'm with Joey. I mean, I think just the chances of hitting on two pitching prospects at once is so rare. I mean, you know, you get two good pitching prospects, you kind of are saying, all right, hey, if one of these turns out to be a star, one of them even turns out just to be a big league starter, we've won. Like, that's kind of where you're at. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're as good as anyone. I just think the numbers for any prospect that high, it's just the chances of striking gold on two is just, it's so rare in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. There was actually a stretch in the mid-2010s where Mark Pryor had a minor league deal with the Reds. And I was so excited. I was really hoping that at some point he was going to get back to the majors for us.
It just didn't
work out, man. I loved Mark Pryor. I know he was a Cub, and I'm not supposed to say that about Cubs players, but I loved Mark Pryor. I was a huge fan.
You can say whatever you want, man. I know you're probably got to cater to the fan base here. You're most of your listeners coming from, but yeah, I mean, like, that's like me with Votto. Like, I'm a huge Votto fan, sure, and he's a Red, and you know, I'll never care and never deny that. So it's like, especially when he had that deal, I think he had a deal with, was it the Padres too, where he was like trying to come back for Pryor? I can't remember, but yeah, man, it just sucked to see that him go down, and his mechanics. I don't know if it was like, it's like that inverted, I don't know how you call it. I'm trying to like show you on the screen right here, but it was just an odd, it put too much pressure, I feel like, on his shoulder and his elbow, the way that he would do his mechanics. They looked like really good mechanics, but I don't know, over and over again, I think it just caused so much damage.
Yeah. I was a big Jeff Samardzija guy too. So
yeah, the Shark.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. He was a wide receiver for my favorite college football team. So
I'm a Notre Dame fan as well.
Nice. Nice.
I like Iowa too. I'm an oddball. Sure. I like Notre Dame though.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, man, I think like these are the two teams I always kind of keep that eye on the most. You know, obviously the Reds for being my team, but like I always like to see what's going on with the Cubs. I want to see if it was like a Reds Cubs 1-2 every year. I'd be cool with that. Preferably the Reds at one, obviously, but looks like we're a ways away from that for a little bit. But yeah, it's like, you know, like you said, like it's fun to just kind of hang out, pick your brain, and kind of talk about a few different things. So I love it, man. I love having you on.
Yeah, dude, always. Anytime. Like, I'd still want to get you guys on Cubs on Tap, too.
Would love to.
You know, maybe the next Reds-Cubs series. Or Cubs-Reds series. You can't say that in reverse. So, yeah, we should do that.
Well, regardless, you put it on wax. So, yeah, we have it here now. Yeah.
Fuck.
Can't back out.
All right, this is my excuse. I cracked one open already.
My man. Yeah, I like it.
Pretty good, actually. It's a Lazy Snake, Three Floyds. It's pretty good.
I haven't had that one yet. I'm a big Three Floyds guy, actually.
Oh, Three Floyds. Have you had Gumball Head?
Yes.
A Zombie Dust? Those two are
There, yeah, big fan. Yeah, of those.
Those two are my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Joey, I'll send you one of these sweet late night Reds Talk snapback hats.
I like that. I like that a lot. I heard you guys talking about that. Yeah. I like that hat a lot. That's clean.
Thanks, buddy. I got a custom made for my pals because I love my dudes.
Can we change it to an LNCT?
Late Night Cubs Talk.
We can't do that?
I mean, we don't own the name, so I guess you can do whatever you want. I don't know, we do own the name. Wait.
I was like, who owns it?
Yeah, I didn't think that one through. That'll probably be the thing Nick cuts up to send to my wife later because she's a big fan of my weird ass videos.
You got that on wax too.
Yeah, dude. He'll like occasionally cut something up and send it to me, and I'll show it to my wife, and she'll save it on her phone and send it to her family and like our family group texts.
That's incredible.
They see a lot of my weird ass like things I say where, you know, like on a podcast, you're just kind of rambling at times. They don't know all of them.
I've said some stuff that I'm like, what was I even talking about? Probably because we keep it kind of loose and free, kind of like you guys do. We drink beer on some of the shows and
yeah,
a lot of the shows. And like once it gets towards the end of the show, it's like I have said some stuff where I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's not like it's wrong what I was saying, but then it just gets over the top. Like just stop. The jokes need to stop. Like let's end the show already. Not you guys, but you know what I'm saying.
No. Believe me, I've been podcasting for 13 years. I know all about the ins and outs and the weirdness of one thing. Yeah. I did recently talking about Chicago beers. I was at a game a couple weeks ago. I had that new 312 lemonade shandy. Big fan.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Nice. I like that a lot. I've had that. It's really good.
Yeah, I like that. It was good stuff.
Especially when it's hot outside, crack one of those open, the cold bottles. You're making me more thirsty, and I have a beer in my hand, so I don't know what's going on.
Nice.
All right, well, let's move on to some questions.
No more beer talks.
The Mellow Medic, Votto comes back from the IL, starts banging. Shades of last season, just saying. Yeah, I mean, he's looked great, you know, like I think we've all been saying, we'll never doubt Joseph Daniel Votto, and man, I'd be nice to see him really just, you know, go on a tear this summer, and, you know, it's probably not going to mean much in terms of the standings or anything like that, but it would certainly be a lot of fun. And one quick point on the Pirates, because the Reds and Cubs are coming for that. The Pirates were 23-34 last year at the beginning of June and still lost 100 games. So let's give the Pirates some time to pirate it up. I mean,
it's going to happen.
It's still early in the season. They're going to go on one of those, you know, stretches where they lose like 13 out of 15 or something. You know, their day is coming. Their 3-21 stretch is coming.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they're one Aleo Lopez actually turning a double play away from losing the game where they had no hit. So,
God, how brutal was that? You probably don't want to relive that again.
I am very happy to talk about what Hunter Green did. I think it was awesome. I never want to see. Okay, I can't say that. I'm not the biggest fan of Alejo Lopez as a Major League Baseball player. I'll go ahead and put it that way.
Very, very kind of you to put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Had to figure out the political way to say that.
Joey, do you think throwing a no-hitter and losing is a big deal? Like, do you think it's like something like you should like fly off a handle over? Like,
no, I mean, I understand it, especially from a national media perspective. Not that I have that perspective, but like looking at national media blowing up stories, they're gonna blow up that story, right? Like it's gonna be in every article. Nick did not think it was brutal, Joey. Well, now that, because you just brought it up too, I don't know, man. Like it's not that big of a deal. It's just you don't see it that often, so I think that's what like throws people off and makes them blow a gas can over, or blow a gasket over it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's just one of those wild, wild things that you just don't see very often.
Yeah, yep. Very rare.
Like the Reds got beat 18-4 by the Brewers like 5 days prior to that. And that was like the final game of getting swept. Like, I was like, that was embarrassing. Like, throwing a no hitter and having a fluky loss, like, whatever, it happens. Like, you know, listen.
But you got more outrage probably on Reds Twitter about the no hitter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Makes sense. I see it every day on Cubs Twitter. I understand completely.
And did Hunter Green pitch both of those games?
Yes. Yes, he did.
One game he up like 8 runs. Yeah, whatever. You know, another game he pitches incredible. Wow, that's embarrassing.
Am I wrong for being more impressed with how he pitched against Toronto than he pitched in that game? I thought he was incredible in the Toronto game.
Oh yeah, I mean, Toronto's a, you know, much more
difficult. They're a juggernaut
lineup, yeah, like, and
impressive lineup to do it against.
Yeah, he was really good in that game. I know he got pulled in the seventh with like walking his last two guys, but it's just kind of goes back to that conversation we've been having as far as like just seeing his growth week to week. It's been fun. We'll see what he does tomorrow.
I have no idea what to expect.
Let's hope we don't see what he does tomorrow. Let's hope he's out of there by the end of the first inning.
I thought you were rooting for a rain out.
Oh, well, actually, because I told you, Nick, I was supposed to, we were thinking about going to this series or going to, tomorrow would have been, or is, my girlfriend's birthday. So it would have been the game that we went to. And we usually try to take a trip every year for her birthday to go somewhere. And lately it's been like, last year we went to Pittsburgh. We watched Cubs Pirates.
I'm sorry.
That was great. They won. It was, I didn't care. Weren't that many people there when it was actually rainy and we were wearing ponchos. And we were right behind the Cubs dugout. So like kind of cheap tickets out there in Pittsburgh because nobody was going to the game. It was awesome though. Like you had players interacting with me. KB gave me like a little head nod. I'm like, hey, there you go. Okay. Whatever I said, I forgot what I said, but he acknowledged me, so that was cool. But no, I was supposed to go to the game tomorrow. And so I am kind of rooting for a rain out because it's like, okay, good call. Like, because that's why we didn't go, was because of the projected rain. So I'm like, all right.
The last time I was supposed to go to Wrigley, it was the year the NFL draft was there. My buddies and I got into town the day before the draft, and we're like, all right, cool, we'll go to the Cubs game. And literally bought the tickets on my phone, got on the train, canceled as I was on the train on the way to Wrigley.
Oh, no, dude.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed.
That's brutal. That is brutal. Nick would think that's brutal, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week was the first time I've ever gone to a game, and it got rained out, the second game in Cleveland. First time in my entire life I had a great streak going, but... But hey, the Reds swept the series.
There you go.
And that's probably why.
Yeah.
Alexis Diaz facing Jose Ramirez is something that, like, when we talk about the memories of this season, that will be up top for sure.
Yeah.
Alexis Diaz looks nasty, by the way.
Yeah, it's been cool seeing like the attention he's been getting from the national media, and like I think it was the MLB.com. They actually had a tweet the other day showing him and his brother like next to each other, and they're like, how their delivery is the same. And that was pretty cool to see.
I have to check that out. Is that on, they got a video somewhere up with that?
I believe it's on the MLB Twitter, or it might be on,
Pitching Ninja.
Pitching Ninja. Oh, okay. Video. Yeah. One of the two.
I love his like overlays that he does.
They're awesome.
It's pitching porn. It really is.
And that's Joey's video is going to cut up that goes to his girlfriend.
She would understand, trust me. When all this was going on with the COVID, with the pandemic, I was on Baseball Savant, and I was looking at different pitch mixes, and you know how they show it in a weird, like the graphic they show, how the pitches go in the zone and, you know, all that. So she looks over at my phone. She goes, what are you looking at, COVID stuff? I go, no, babe, just some nasty pitches affecting hitters all over the world. And it was the truth. Like, it, you know, so she'll fully understand the pitching porn.
Good to know.
Good.
You just don't send it to her, though.
Good question. Your thoughts on Connor Overton's success, Mirage or Sneaky Good? Overton, of course, is going to be out for a couple months, which is just like
sucks.
way the season's going. Got this guy comes out of nowhere, pitches just really, really great. I don't know, 4 or 5 starts, and then gets hurt. I don't know. I'd probably say somewhere in between.
That's where I'm at.
I don't think like it was just some big giant fluke that he went out and had 4 or 5 really good starts. I think if you look at, you know, he had a lot of soft contact, especially the last couple starts. Doesn't walk anyone, you know, and if you could throw strikes and you don't walk anyone and keep the ball in the ballpark, which he's been able to do, I mean, you're going to have some success. So, yeah, I'd love to see him get another run. You know, he kind of like is like kind of like that Dan Straley kind of out of nowhere, you know, guy for me. You know, hopefully he can get healthy and in the second half, unfortunately, probably after, you know, Luis Castillo and or Tyler Mahle are dealt, you know, he can, you know, kind of help eat some of those innings down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, I like him. It's not the interesting too is, I mean, he didn't pitch in the big leagues until last year. So this is not like some guy that's had like chance after chance after chance after chance. I mean, this is really, you know, I mean, I know he's, you know, 28 years old, but this is his first like shot at the big league. So there's not all this data that he has failed, and this is just something. So yeah, I'd like to see him get him, you know, I think he has the ability to maybe be a league average starter. I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, I was really impressed how he pitched against the Guardians. I thought he pitched really well in that game, and I know it's easy to point to the fact he had 2 Pirates starts, which was funny. It was like pitching metric wise. I think his second Pirates start was his worst start of the year, cause he had like 4 or 5 hard hit balls but still, you know, battled. What he did in Colorado, I know he only went 5 1/3, which I guess that's actually pretty lengthy for nowadays for starters.
In Colorado.
Right, yeah, especially. I was really impressed with. So I think I'm in the middle. I want to see more. I hope he does get another run, like Nick said. I've enjoyed seeing him pitch. You know, you and I. The one time Nick Kirby and I went to a game together, we saw Connor Overton throw about 7 innings, pretty close.
Nice.
I've seen Connor Overton pitch in 2 wins.
Yeah. You've seen 2 of his 4 starts in person.
What a world. And they're both wins. And they're
yeah,
both
and they're 3-1 in games he starts. So, you know, he's got some good luck going his way. I hope to see more of it. You know, I love what the Reds have done with their pitching in the organization. Not just the Greens and Lodolos, but Overton's. Graham Ashcraft just pitched Sunday against Toronto and only went 4 1/3, but it looked really good for it being his first major league start. And, you know, Alexis Diaz has been amazing, like we said. So I've really enjoyed what they've been able to put together the past few years as far as like the depth of the farm system.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And that leads us to our segment around the minor leagues, late night Reds Talk Prospect Watch. When I was watching Graham Ashcraft, I know I tweeted this out, so sorry to people that I'm, you know, giving you the same thoughts twice because I don't really have anything more original. But yeah, I mean, I really think that the Reds are really starting to stockpile young pitching. And, you know, we saw with the Brewers last year, it was just like, my God, these guys just bring out pitcher. And I'm sure, Joey, you saw it. Like, it's like, where did these guys keep coming from? Like, the Brewers just keep calling up dude after dude after dude that just throws nasty stuff. And I'm starting to see that with the Reds, you know, Williamson, the prize of the Winker trade. It's finally starting to pitch well in Double A. Connor Phillips, the player to be named later in the Winker trade, has been incredible all year. I mean, look at this, 60 strikeouts in 36 innings. I mean, this guy is nasty. I mean, he's still got a ways to go. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I see that the Reds are really just, it seems like that's like such a big focus right now. And I think that's, you know, probably a pretty good strategy to have, to just kind of stockpile these arms and, you know, look to add maybe some offensive pieces around them. And then kind of, you know, mix and match starter reliever, maybe some or both throughout the year. That, you know, that's what the Rays do. They have good arms and they just throw them wherever they can. Right. It tends to work pretty well for them.
Yeah. I was going to say, it feels like Tampa Bay North is kind of what they're putting together. Yeah, I think, you know, Brandon Williamson and obviously Connor Phillips, like you mentioned, Matt McClain, who everyone's excited about, myself included. Nick, I'll tell you, I was tweeting about this with one of our listeners the other day. I've been on eBay trying to find Matt McClain rookie cards. And every time I get an eBay bid for him, I get sniped for far more than I'm willing to spend. So people are very high on Matt McClain right now, if anyone's wondering. If you're looking to get a Matt McClain Bowman first, be ready to break open the bank account or maybe get your credit card out. And then Austin Hendrick being promoted to Dayton. This is one, obviously, I'm excited about. We had Arm Layton on when we did, kind of talked about the prospects for the team. And he talked a lot about Hendrick really not facing a ton of great competition when he was in high school and, you know, really still learning how to competitively hit and didn't have like the best slash line in Daytona, but did hit a lot of homers, did like learn how to walk and take pitches. So seeing him in Dayton's pretty cool. And I think yesterday our guy, On Base Machine tweeted, I believe, like he was like this close to hitting a homer in Dayton yesterday. So very excited to see the growth of Austin Hendrick, who feels like he's going to be, if stays with the organization, the next big power bat for the Reds in the future.
Yeah. Definitely just interested to see what, you know, Hendrick can do at the next level up, but
me too.
Yeah. Matt McClain, I'm trying to be patient, you know, and he definitely has some things to work on. You know, I'm not a batting average guy, but that 241 average sticks out at double A. You know, you'd like to see him get hit a little bit more for contact. But I can't believe he has 10 home runs already.
That 890 OPS, though.
Yeah, I mean, the 10 home runs is and 11 stolen bases, too. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
that's the kind of prospect you just, you know, you can't wait to see.
The Reds might make me eat crow on this Jesse Winker deal. This looks like you guys, I mean, just looking at from what you guys have been talking about here with these prospects, I mean,
oh, Joe,
playing as well.
I think it's going to age well. I really do. I mean, you know, time will tell, but, you know, these are just two of the guys. You know, they also got Justin Dunn, who, yeah, he's been hurt all year, but the Reds are still going to have, I think, three more years with him. And he was a top prospect. So, you know, we've seen the Reds be able to revitalize some guys like Sonny Gray comes to mind. Obviously, Dunn has never had the kind of success that Sonny Gray had, but, you know, is Dunn a guy that Derek Johnson could kind of figure out whatever was going wrong in Seattle and get him back to, like, that top prospect? And, yeah, I'm high on Fraley. I think Fraley's a really nice, you know, maybe fourth outfielder. And the Reds have control of these guys for a long time, so it'll be interesting to see once, you know, next year's gone and Winker's... We assume he probably will move on. I doubt he's going to sign a long-term contract with Seattle. Seattle doesn't spend. I assume he's probably...
They don't do anything.
I mean, their payroll's lower than the Reds right now. So, yeah. Like, I don't see them extending Jesse Winker. And then Suarez is gone the year after. It'll be interesting to see how... what these guys look like in 3, 4, 5 years, you know, long after those guys are, you know, gone and moved on wherever else they're going to go for their careers. So...
Yeah, especially when... You know, in a couple of years, you got Mike Moustakas' contract off the table, and you know, obviously, the end of Joey's contract. Hopefully, you know, selfishly, I want to see Joey play his whole career with the Reds. And so, if they want to sign him to some like smaller deal and at the end of the contract, I'm totally okay with that selfishly. But yeah, I think like that's a really good point as far as like what does this look like in a couple of years, because. I know Winker had like a walk-off homer and see for not too long ago, but like really everything else I've seen, I haven't been blown away by him. I think Tommy Pham's been basically better in most places.
A lot of people were concerned about Winker moving ballparks, and I was like looking at Winker's hit tool and I'm like, I don't really understand the concern because I feel like he's still a guy that would play well anywhere, like for the most part, but I guess the power production makes sense, but like why he's hitting for such a low average and stuff, I don't really understand quite, with especially how big, because that's a bigger ballpark, but like you'd think the average would be better than there, you know what I mean? It's just odd. I don't know the struggle.
Let's see more lefties in the American League.
That could be, honestly. I know he's not that good against lefty. Have they been platooning him? Do you know? I don't know. But
I think they just signed Justin Upton. So I think that, you know, we were joking about that they found his platoon mate.
They haven't been platooning him, but they haven't batting him like seventh against left-handed pitching, which I saw that I got a good chuckle because the Reds could not move him out of second versus a left-handed pitcher to maybe like want to punch my wall.
How old is Justin Upton at this point? That's like that's the big question.
53.
Yeah. Just reverse him. Just reverse the 35.
Yeah. Something like
I think Winker will figure it out in Seattle. I think by the end of the year, Winker's numbers will probably look pretty good. Eugenio Suarez, who looks great right now, they'll probably come back down to earth, and you'll probably see a little bit of both there. Again, I just don't know if the overall value for Winker was as high as a lot of people thought with his, you know, lack of defensive ability, his inability to hit left-handed pitching. Again, you look at this the Reds team right now at 13-30. I don't think Jesse Winker alone turns them into a contender, you know, as much as we love, you know, the guy. I don't know. We'll see how that trades.
It's so weird seeing him wear number 27. It's so weird.
Who is
what
that
did he wear before?
Was that Roland?
33. Yeah, Scott Roland wore 27 here. Jake Fraley's wearing 27 here now.
I can't believe Jake Fraley disrespected Scott Rowland like that.
I know.
Fuck Scott.
Oh, God, Rowland. I forgot about that. I totally just forgot about the Brandon Phillips, Scooter Jeanette thing.
I didn't. I wasn't the biggest. I was so, like, just tainted at that point, you know, like.
Same.
Like, Scott Rowland in, like, 2012 was just so bad at the end. Like,
He was done.
There was no business that he was playing, and Dusty played Roland over Todd Frazier, who like probably should have won Rookie of the Year, but he didn't play him enough.
It wasn't Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
His name wasn't Bryce Harper.
Well, no, but he didn't play enough either. Like,
right.
He didn't get enough at bats, and like, I don't know. It's probably like completely unfair to poor Scott Roland. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. I don't think he penciled himself in the lineup, you know?
The error in game 3. I will never get over the error in game 3.
Oh, man.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
I know. I was talking to a guy that dealt with Steve Bartman. We're talking about one error in game 3. I know, Joey. Don't worry.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, that would stick with me, too. I get it. And to be honest, the Steve Bartman thing didn't piss me off. It was the error by Alex Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, thank you.
Yes, the Bartman thing was not Bartman. It's just a fan being a fan. Also, I am glad that Eugenio Suarez is out of the division now because he was also a Cubs killer. I believe he had like 30 career home runs against the Cubs and an over 900 OPS. So thank you for leaving the NL Central, Eugenio.
He had some massive home runs against the Cubs too. Yeah. Like, those weren't like home runs in like 6-0 games. Like those.
No,
like,
they were.
They all counted.
It was like Alfonso Soriano against us. No, I'm sorry. Aramis Ramirez when he played for the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
It was always like.
Oh, Ramirez was just. He was kind of like that, honestly, against. He was just a clutch, like 2-out RBI machine. Anybody in scoring position, Ramirez knew what to do. But Eugenio, you're right, Nick. This dude, like, I'm talking butt clenching moments with the bullpen in the game, and Eugenio would just put a dagger right to my heart, and I'm like, oh man, this guy, I could not be happier. I know it's his struggles towards the end here or with Cincinnati, but I could not be happier than to see him leave.
Yeah, he's one of my all-time favorite Reds for sure. Oh, I remember he hit one off do you remember the one he hit off of I think it was Steve Cishek. It was like a Red Cubs had a one run lead in the ninth. It was a day game.
Oh man. They all blend at this point. I have to go back and look now that you just said that though, because it's probably something I didn't want to remember.
Yeah, it was in 2019. I remember it. And I was listening on the radio and I'm like driving down the highway and I live in Cleveland. I don't even live in Cincinnati. And I'm like going nuts in my car. And people are like looking at me like, get this guy off the road.
You know who else for the Reds really like always play like, oh, I shouldn't say always, but weirdly had like really great moments against the Cubs was Drew Stubbs. Drew Stubbs had a ton of great big games against the Cubs.
He had a 3 home run game at Wrigley on like, was it July 4th?
Yeah.
Oh man, I remember that. I do. Wow. Yeah, Drew Stubbs. That's a name that you don't even think about at all. That's just like,
he's that was ultimate, horrible. My ultimate, he's going to figure it out, never figured it out guy. That is, he is like my ultimate, like one of these days he's going to put it together and just never did.
He's also one of those guys that I thought was way worse than he was. And then I look back at his stats and I'm like, oh, you know what? He really wasn't that bad.
If he played in like current baseball, like he'd be great. People would love him.
Yeah, he would have got, I think, a longer run for sure.
Was he more of an on-base guy? I can't really remember like what his profile was.
Well, he struck out like 30% of the time, and I think people like lost it over that. But like Shohei Ohtani strikes out 30% of the time, so it's like,
yeah, but he was also like a 2020 threat. Like it was weird. Like,
yeah, I mean he was really bad in 2012. Like there's no like. Yeah. Like he was a 65 weighted runs created plus, but like in like 2011, like he was like a 90 weighted runs created plus, and he was still like over a 2-win player, and he felt terrible, you know. But he wasn't really that bad.
Yeah, and like for some reason, like when Lincecum was Lincecum, he couldn't get Drew Stubbs out. I never understood that.
But he was actually good Lincecum too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. It's just some players, man. I don't know. Some hitters have pitchers' numbers and vice versa. Do you guys think Hunter Green needs to develop a fourth pitch? Sorry for reading it. It's just a habit. I'm used to doing it on our show.
Actually, I appreciate it. So,
I don't think it would hurt. I mean, I think there are some, you know, pitchers that do have a lot of success without. You know, really developing that fourth pitch, or a fourth pitch that they can, you know, consistently have success with. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would say right now he just needs to perfect the you know, three that he has and work on that. And, you know, I think a lot, I don't know, Carlos would be a much better guy to answer this question with. But I feel like a lot of times that's like done in the off season, right? Like, you know, hey, I'm going to work on this pitch. It's not just, you don't just add a pitch in the middle of the season. So, good question.
It is. Yeah, I appreciate the question.
I feel like not specifically Hunter Green, but the sweet spot for me, like looking at just different pitchers and stuff, I feel like it's, if you have three really good pitches, quality pitches, you don't necessarily need a fourth. Like if you have just two, I feel like you will always are looking to add a third. But if you have three, I feel like you can definitely mix well enough to, if there are three quality pitchers, you can mix well enough to be a really good pitcher. But yeah, I don't know. Like you said, that's not a question for me really. It's just what I see and think.
Remember when Chapman had that split finger? That was so awesome.
Dude, he was throwing it like, what was he throwing it to? Like 95 mile per hour splitter? What?
An 88 mile an hour slider followed by a 95 mile an hour splitter, then 105 coming at you.
Yeah, just unreal, man.
That was
unreal.
I don't know if there was a pitcher that was more fun for me as a Reds fan, but Hunter Green, obviously watching him grow every week to week, has been pretty incredible.
What's he top out at, Hunter Green, right now? Or what is he topped out at the big league level?
I think 103. Do I have that right, Nick?
103.
Yeah, he set the record for most pitches over 101 and over 100 in a game. So, I mean, that's kind of the other thing that like we have to kind of consider with Green is he's so much different than anyone else that we see. So, you know, maybe for a guy, you know, for guys that throw like even like 95, 96, yeah, they may need four really good pitches to be able to get guys out. But if he's, you know, locating his fastball over 100 miles an hour, and then his slider and his changeup are effective, you know, that he may not need it as much as some of the other guys that don't have that, you know, ability just to completely, you know, blow it by a hitter.
I hope he learns a knuckleball just to mess with people. Just throws like 102 and then just breaks out a knuckler.
Have Carlos teach him his screwball.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on to something. Yeah. When Carlos comes back next week, I'll make sure to bring that up to him.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I think we have some rehab updates.
Yeah, let's do some rehab updates. Jose Barrero is back in AAA. Hitting really well so far. Already has a home run. Jake Fraley, he's kind of been doing a little bit of a tour around town. He was in Louisville, now in Dayton, assuming just staying closer to home. I'm assuming the fact that they switched him means they're probably going to try to activate him sooner than Barrero, I would think. So, yeah, he might be this weekend, you know, might be after. So, I'd be excited to have Fraley back. And then Minor, fingers crossed, he's supposed to pitch tomorrow, Thursday. And then if all goes well, would probably make his next start with the Reds. So, yeah, I mean, Mike Minor's not a sexy pitcher, but hey, 10 innings pitch, one walk, throw strikes.
Take it.
Certainly would be an upgrade over our good friend that we are all rooting for, Vladimir Gutierrez.
Yes.
Would certainly like someone to take his spot. And then last update, unfortunately, Jonathan India, we were hoping he was going to start a rehab assignment, but had a little bit of a setback. He's 10 to 14 days away from starting a rehab assignment if all goes well and he's cleared by the doctors.
Yeah, I saw earlier DJ Johnson in the chat asked our thoughts on India's cornrows. I dig it. You know, Bronson Arroyo had him when they won a World Series in Boston, so maybe he's onto something.
Do whatever works for you, man. Joey, what's your thoughts on?
I think they're cool. I mean, I can't get them, like, I, you know, so right. I think they're cool. Like, anybody that can do it and is doing it, why not?
Yeah. Great marketing strategy.
Oh, absolutely. Especially now Scott Boras is his agent to kind of help him with that stuff.
Yeah.
Big time.
Absolutely.
I honestly forgot that you guys even picked up Mike Minor, by the way. I did not even realize.
For Amir Garrett. Yeah.
Oh, that was the deal. Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Mike Minor essentially, after all the dust settled, replaced Wade Miley. So,
yeah,
I am fascinated to see who has more wins above replacement at the end of the year between Mike Minor and Wade Miley.
Oh, if Miley doesn't get hurt, I can tell you right now it'll be Miley. And we can put a bet on it if you want, Nick.
Oh, I would agree. If Miley doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, and, I know.
He's been hurt a lot throughout his career and also has really struggled in like September. So I'm interested. I'm fascinated to see.
Mike Minor's always been kind of quality when he's it's both those guys. They just both get hurt. Like, what? I don't know. Yeah. Can they stay on the field?
Mike Minor was an all-star in Kansas City for a year.
Did he throw a no-hitter or come close to? He came close once, right?
I think so.
He also has a Derek Johnson connection from Vanderbilt, so that's another interesting layer to that. But yeah, the Minor versus Miley. I can't believe, Joey, that they didn't have Wade Miley pitching in the series. Like, four-game series and we're missing Wade Miley? Like,
oh, man.
That would have been just so much fun.
The Reds can't hit lefties regularly, so, you know, like.
Yeah, dude, why? I don't. That would have been perfect.
Aquino
versus Drew Smiley did pretty decent. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was decent. Yeah, I don't want to see Aquino against Miley, though. I can tell you that.
It's either gonna be really, really good for you or really, really bad. Like, there's no in between. Yeah. Like, he's not hitting the bloop single. Like, he's either swinging and falling over or hitting it in the bleachers.
Yeah. Oh, so by the way, I just looked up Mike Minor when he was with the Braves. You guys are gonna love this one. 7 no-hit innings against the Reds. That was in 2014, it looks like. So I'm not quite sure what he finished out with that start. Now I got to dive a little bit deeper.
Got to go into the game logs on Baseball Reference.
Yeah, so that might be like a question that reporters, hey, you know, like 2014 with the Braves, what you do with against the Reds, if anybody ever remembers that at all.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure someone out there does. Oh, I guess while Joey is looking that up.
Joey, was this a game that the Reds won?
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
No, so. they lost it in extra innings.
It was August of. Oh, you just found it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're too fast, man. I don't know.
You're telling me.
That's like you got that high-speed internet over there or something.
There was one time I was telling him about a game I went to in 97. I was like, yeah, like Willie Green hit a grand slam. Deion Sanders had a foul ball go off his, like bounce off his head. He sent me the ESPN highlights 2 minutes later.
What?
Yeah. Really, I'm like pulling, like, I'm,
I got,
like,
a,
pulling
I got
straws,
a guy.
Like, I got like a guy. Trying to remember the game. And he's like, oh, yeah, here it is.
From about 1990 through 2001, Joey, if there's any highlight you want to see, you just let me know and I'll find it for you.
Oh, I can guarantee you there's probably some stuff I want to see. Let me think about that. I'll send you a message later on, probably, if you're not sleeping. Maybe it'll be tomorrow morning. I'll just like
sleep. You're fine.
Hit you with like five of them. Like, send me these, please.
There you go. I'll teach you how to find them for yourself too. So it's you won't ever do anything else once you get on that train.
Okay, I'm gonna ask one question. The two questions. Is it Stat Muse or is it MLB Film Room?
It's some random dude on YouTube.
Jesus. Okay.
There is this God Among Us named, I think it's SW561, that apparently on VHS recorded SportsCenter every night for like 20 years. And went through and uploads them all. So, like, you pretty much can find his YouTube channel. You can find the day, and he has just about, like, there's a few random days missing. I guess the poor guy had to go to a wedding or something. I don't know.
That's incredible, dude. I need this, the channel. You need to send that to me.
I'll send you the channel. It's incredible. I mean, you literally can find
right now
from like 1990. He's like actually still uploading. He just got into the 2002 season. I don't know how long it's going to go, but I subscribe and I like every day he posts, almost every day he posts a new clip. And I'm like waiting. I'm like, how far is this going to go? This is incredible.
Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
I need to see if I can find the SportsCenter from February 2000 when Griffey got traded to the Reds. When my gym teacher in elementary school told me it happened, and I ran home from school to turn on the television and see Griffey with the Reds hat on. We'll never forget that moment in my life.
Yeah, we're really going off the rails here, but apparently. The guy or I should say guy or girl, because it you know, could be a lady that does this, has another channel called Southwest Ohio Sports Archive that has just Cincinnati sports highlights. So this person must be from Cincinnati that does it. And yeah, Tim, they have like the preseason when Griffey got traded.
I'm playing it now, so I'm gonna find it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of like all like the uploading every day or whatever. That reminds me of me going back. I don't know if you guys were wrestling fans growing up.
I still am.
I still am too, but I don't follow it like I used to. You know, it's like it's hard for me with sports stuff and whatever.
I make a lot of wrestling references, and Nick just kind of looks at me like he has no idea. Like I have three heads, so
so he's gonna hate this, like, you know, comparison or whatever. But like, it reminds me of this guy who used to just upload all the old Raw and SmackDowns and pay-per-views to, I forget what it was, like there was some website that I used to go to, and he was doing it on YouTube too. He used to just keep uploading like all, every like in order, and I was watching him back from like 1997 to 2002 until I just, all right, I can't keep up, like it's too many that I just get bored eventually because I'd already seen them, but they're all cool to me.
Now there's this wonderful thing called Peacock that has it all in there for you. So
this is before that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I missed the tape trading days, though. I agree. Yeah. Well, I guess we got to do we have to, Nick, like talk about what's coming up before we get out of here? Because I feel like
we sure do.
Yeah, so Nick will be in Boston for that Luis Castillo Michael Wacha game, right? And the Mike Minor game.
I might get to see the Mike Minor debut. That'd be fun.
Yeah, but you got Graham Ashcraft getting another start Friday. I was gonna go to the Saturday afternoon game because it's Tyler Stevenson bobblehead day. And then I saw Vlad was pitching and figured I'll get it on eBay.
These are not confirmed. The Reds have only announced Hunter Green. This is the FanGraphs projection, but it does seem to make sense to me. Seems like Ashcraft would probably pitch on Friday. The Reds are going to have, or they're going to have to do a bullpen day.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to pitch Vlad on short rest.
Yeah, no kidding.
Although, I mean, I don't know. Could it be worse?
Well, you guys might have to go to that Washington series because there's a lot of conversation. It sounds like Juan Soto will be playing in the American League in the near future. So,
yeah. So, I guess I might either see Mike Minor or Hunter Green because the Reds could, they have that off day. They could just pitch Green on normal rest. So, yeah, oh, man, who do I want? Mike Minor or Hunter Green? I mean, that's...
decisions, man, decisions.
But it's Mike Minor's debut. Like, there's only one Reds debut, you know?
Yeah, against Trevor Story, who has hit, like, 75 home runs last week.
Jeez. Yeah, I think I prefer Hunter Green. I think I think Trevor Story does hit lefties pretty well. I think that Boston lineup as a whole hits lefties really well. So that might not... Maybe they should push him back to the Nationals at home and...
Let
Nick see Hunter Green. Come on, guys. Give me something. I have been a loyal... son, give me Hunter Green in Boston. That would be awesome.
We'll take Vladimir Gascan in on Thursday's game too. If they want to throw him out there tomorrow, I'd take that. That's the Cubs.
Yeah,
Vlad.
I know that was very mean. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call him a Gascan.
It's okay, buddy. It's okay.
We're all rooting for Vlad.
Yeah,
we hope he has a lot of success in Louisville.
Yeah.
There you go.
Agree. And then, yeah, so it looks like after tomorrow, we don't see the Cubs again until the end of June. And then, you know, they go to Boston for 2 days and then are home for a while with Washington, Arizona. If Fangraphs want to say that Zach Gallen will not be making the trip to Cincinnati for Arizona for any games, that's fantastic. He doesn't have to. You know, it's really humid at that time of the year anyway in Cincinnati. Probably just wants to stay back home. So we're totally okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really hard to adjust to Cincinnati weather when you're in Arizona.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just not worth it.
No, not at all.
No. I have him in my Dynasty League, and it's a blast that someone let me draft him. I can't believe it. Maybe the Reds will trade for him one day. You guys don't have some chance getting Zach Gallen, do you, Joey?
Do we have a chance?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always a chance. I mean, we need starting pitching, too. I don't know. It's odd. Like, now that this rotation's coming together, like, but for the future, no, we need pitching. We definitely need pitching. I will say, too, Caleb Killian could be making his debut on Monday, who just got bumped up the prospect ranks to prospect number 4 before the season. I'm not sure what's at right now. I think he's still probably 4 in the system, which that dude looks great, man. Like he was part of that Chris Bryant trade and he really looks good. He dominated in the fall league. We'll see what he does when he pitches against the Brewers in that doubleheader on Monday. So that's a makeup game, but I'm excited. If he pitches well, just keep him there because I know he might not have the length yet, like pitch count wise. I don't think he got his pitch count up too much in AAA, but he really looks like he could be special, and that could be a piece for the future. And then maybe I don't think the D-backs want to move on from Gallen though. That's like shit. Where are you going to get pitching from right now? Like it's either you're building him up or I don't know. Like I guess you could get one of these guys that opts out potentially too, or I don't know, the free agent market. I was kind of looking and I'm like, Mike Clevenger maybe next year. Like,
well, he just went on the IL too. So
I know, how serious was that? What did he go on the IL with? I forget.
I'd have to
check that, but
yeah. I think, did we touch on everything? Are we good?
I think so. Joey, man, it was awesome. Hey, hopefully, looks like maybe Reds and Cubs building for a year where they'll both be good. I don't think the Reds and Cubs have ever been like really like legit good in the same year in my lifetime. Is that Sam. True?
I don't remember a time, to be honest with you. Like maybe competitive teams, but not these two are fighting for the division type teams, I don't think. I mean, I can't remember. I really honestly can't remember.
Yeah.
I think 2020 would have been the only year that the two teams made the playoffs the same year.
2020. I'm trying to think.
You guys won the division. That was the
We did
the 60, and the Reds were like the seventh wild card or whatever.
But that's why I'm like, when did they make the playoffs?
But tied for the fifth spot. They would have been in a normal year. They would have been tied.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, the Marlins made it, and I don't think they should have made it that year too, right?
Yeah, that was a weird year. But yeah, no, it would be a lot of fun, you know, if we're playing like some September games, fighting for. I remember like 2019 at the end of the year, you guys were fighting for a playoff spot and the Reds were out of it, but they played at Wrigley and it was like the energy was just really, really fun. It was really awesome.
It's electric, man. When you guys have a competitive team, the Reds, I feel like Great American Ballpark is a very solid atmosphere when it's a good team, like these 12,000 attendance marks, you know, the numbers, like, come on, 12,000 for attendance. It's like this series between the Cubs and Reds should be packed. It should be absolutely packed, but that's just where these two clubs are right now. And, you know, like you said, I mean, hopefully they can kind of get back on track at the same time, because that would be so much fun. You guys traveling to Wrigley, we'll hit up Murphy's together.
They love
we'll
hang out there.
Yeah, hang out at the bleachers. We'll avoid the fights. I know you guys saw that viral video. We'll avoid the fights, but we will have a great time if this is a competitive series moving forward. Not competitive between the two teams, but you know what I mean? Two competitive teams going at it, especially in like September, man. Nothing would be better than that.
Yeah,
I'm in.
I agree.
I'm in.
Yeah. Well, normally we do the send-off, but I know Carlos wanted to send a really cool thank you to everybody. For reaching out to him, and he recorded something for you all. So I'm going to go ahead and say that this week's edition of Late Night Reds Talk, as always, is brought to you by Bet Online. And then Carlos is going to do a send off for you guys. So have a good night, everyone.
Hey guys, I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank each and every one of you who has sent a text message, a tweet, shout out, a phone call, to help not only me but my community, my family, get through this rough and horrible situation that we're all going through in Uvalde right now. This Reds community that I've grown to become a part of has been nothing short of amazing. You guys really do feel like family to me, and I can't thank you enough for all the kind words that you're sending our way and helping fight to prevent something like this to ever happening again. I pray to God none of you guys ever have to go through anything like this. I really am at a loss for words. You know, I went home to Uvalde this morning, was able to hug my loved ones, kind of witness the circus that's going on there right now. Everyone there needs you to pray for them, to think about them, to help make a change somehow, one way or the other. I don't have the answers for that. Hopefully someone somewhere can figure it out so we can stop this from happening ever again. Lost too many loved ones, too many people close to me are hurting. Like I said, to the Cincinnati community, you guys have been amazing. I love you guys. Thank you so much for all the kind words. I just don't know what else to say, but thank you, and I love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.